If you're an income investor and you're not generating more than $500 a month, we have one question for you.
Are you crazy?
Let ETFGuide.com help you. A $100,000 portfolio using our timely strategies should be able to generate between $500 and $2,000 per month.
Go to ETFGuide.com
to get our monthly income trades. Click on ETF Combos, and we'll show you how to turn your investments into a cash cow.
Isn't it time you lowered your risk
and increased your monthly income? Go to ETFGuide.com, and we'll show you how.
You're listening to the Index Investing Show. This is America's only weekly program focused on the important stock and bond indexes and the financial products that track them.
And now presenting your host,
Ron DeLegge. Ron DeLegge.
Welcome to the program. You're listening to the Index Investing Show. Great to have you with us. I'm Ron DeLegge, your host and financial DJ. We'll be together for the next hour talking the birds and the bees of successful investing. If you'd like to join us to talk about a specific stock, mutual fund, ETF, or investment strategy, 877-711-5611 is the phone number. Ron@indexshow.com is the email address. You can also tweet me. At Index Show is my Twitter handle. Give us your first name along with your city, and we will get to you. Well, coming up on today's broadcast, the tyranny of target date funds. Here on this program, by now, all of our listeners should know that I love assassinating. I love annihilating. I love dismantling consensus investment views, and we're going to do that on today's program with target date funds, which have soared above $1 trillion of assets invested in target date funds. Why is that a problem? My program guest will be Ron Soares. He's president of a company called Target Date Solutions based in San Clemente, California. We are going to get to the bottom of target date funds and why I believe there are big problems with these types of mutual funds and why you should avoid them. Also coming up on today's broadcast, two strategies for solving the income shortage puzzle. We'll also get into three of the biggest psychological traps that you, Mr. and Mrs. Investor, need to avoid. If you'd like to join us, 877-711-5611 is the number. We're here. So let's get right to it. Let's talk about bond yields, which have been climbing over the past several months, yet income investors are still stuck in the same old boat of not having enough cash flow. A New York Times article titled, Why Many Retirees Could Outlive a $1 Million Nest Egg. Great article. I posted that on my Twitter account, at Index Show. And the article said in part, quote, for people close to retirement, the problem is acute. The conventional financial wisdom is that the older you get, the more money that you should put into bonds, which are widely considered safer than stocks. But consider this bleak picture. A typical 65-year-old couple with $1 million in tax-free municipal bonds, they want to retire. They plan to withdraw 4% of their savings per year as a common rule of thumb drawdown, that 4% savings. But under current conditions, if they spend that $40,000 a year that they're withdrawing, adjusted for inflation, there's a 72% probability that they'll run out of money before they die. End of quote. That again was a New York Times piece, great article, titled Why Many Retirees Could Outlive a $1 Million Nest Egg. Now, let's do some basic back-of-the-napkin math on this, okay, everybody? So in ETF land, the 12-month yield on the iShares S&P National AMT Free Municipal Bond ETF, ticker symbol MUB. Now, this particular ETF owns municipal bonds from all over the U.S. in all jurisdictions. So the current 12-month yield on ticker symbol MUB is just under 3%. That means someone with a 4% withdrawal rate is eroding their principal. That's if they got 100% of their money in municipal bonds, as that New York Times article explained. So if they're getting 3% of yield on that $1 million portfolio, and they're withdrawing 4%, well, then they're eroding their principal by 1% annually. So regardless of whether that income is tax-free or not, I don't want to get into that. That's a tertiary issue. The bottom line is that today's municipal bond yields are so depressed that the prudent retiree has no choice but to look elsewhere for higher income. So the 100% all bond portfolio, whether it's municipal bonds or treasuries or corporates, it's not going to cut it because today's yields are depressed. Even though we've been having rates increase here over the past several months, still not at levels that are sustainable for adequate cash flow. We're going to take a look at another thing that some of these retirees are doing, the opposite extreme of the 100% all bond portfolio. We're going to examine the 100% all stock portfolio. We'll get into that. And then finally, really get to the bottom of the problem and talk not just about the problem, but the solution. Ways to solve the income shortage puzzle. I'm going to highlight two ways that you can do that. 877-711-5611 is the number. Ron at indexshow.com is the email address. Please join us. I'll be doing a portfolio report card on next week's program. Got a listener on the East Coast who sent me all of his portfolio information and data. And no better time than now to take a look at your investment portfolio and gauge where you're at. The year is half over. And now is the time to take a look at how your portfolio has been performing, not just in terms of returns, but take a look at some of those other areas. Taxes. Is your portfolio creating an unnecessary tax bill for yourself? How about fees? Are you paying unnecessarily high investment fees? How about diversification? Are you adequately diversified? Or are you possibly over-diversified? That's a problem that we see. Everyone talks about, at least in the financial community, you need to be diversified. You need to be diversified. Well, that's true, but there's also the opposite extreme of over-diversification. In other words, where you own too many of the same things. So that's one of the things my portfolio report card tackles. And then another thing, too, is risk. Is your portfolio... does it adequately or accurately reflect your unique level of risk tolerance? And everyone has a different capability or tolerance to risk. Just because you have the same age and level of income as your neighbor doesn't necessarily mean you should have the same portfolio design as they have. In some instances, you may be more aggressive or conservative than they are. So these are some of the things that my portfolio report card takes a look at. You can just go to indexshow.com, get in touch with me, and we will feature your portfolio on this very broadcast. We'll break it down. And portfolios, by the way, that do well always get an A or a B. Conversely, if you get a C, D, or F, well, that means your investment portfolio needs some work. Got to go back to the drawing board and make some changes. 877-711-5611 is the number. Ron at indexshow.com is the email address. And also something I want to get into on today's broadcast, I was thinking about that Shakespeare play, A Comedy of Errors. A Comedy of Errors, and we see so many common mistakes with investors, with not just how they construct their investment portfolios, but more along the lines of psychological traps that get them in trouble. And I want to talk about three psychological traps that you as an investor must absolutely avoid. And we're going to get into that. You know, I've said it many times, and I will say it again. Before you can get your money right, you must first get your mind right. Let me repeat that because that's pretty important. Before you can get your money right, you must first get your mind right. And I kind of borrowed that from that movie, that wonderful movie, Cool Hand Luke, where basically Luke has to go to prison before he can get his mind right. And in the very end, he never gets reformed. He never gets his mind right. And so with investing, you need to get your mind right. You need to have the psychological attributes to prepare yourself for success. 877-711-5611 is the number. You're listening to the Index Investing Show. My name is Ron DeLegge. We're here. Join us. We'll be right back after this short break. Be here or be nowhere.
The Index Investing Show with Ron DeLegge.
All right, welcome back. You're listening to the Index Investing Show, 877-711-5611. Ron at indexshow.com is the email address. We got a tweet from Bipar Malee. His name is Tony Gamble, and it's a tweet sent to my Twitter account, at Index Show, about a company called Lululemon, ticker symbol L-U-L-U, which this past week took a little bit of a dive. Its CEO announced that that CEO would be leaving. And he asked me basically my opinion on that particular stock. And of course, all of our listeners should know that your foundation of your portfolio should first be low-cost index ETFs that track the key asset classes, not just stocks, but bonds, commodities, cash, real estate. Once you take care of that priority of building your portfolio on low-cost index funds and index ETFs in all of these key asset classes, then you can begin to take a look at some of the individual stocks out there if you have extra money that you want to add to accentuate that core portfolio. Now, in the case of Lululemon, this stock is still on a valuation basis in nosebleed territory. I mean, it trades at a premium compared to other companies out there like Nike and some of the other big sporting gear makers. About the only thing I could say about Lululemon is it's the Tesla of yoga pants. And that was my comment to Bipar Malee because of the fact that it has just been a rocket ship. And I know there's a lot of short sellers who expect it to go down and they have lost money. But nevertheless, I wear their pants, by the way. They're very comfortable. Of course, not the see-through yoga pants. But nevertheless, we shall see what shakes out with Lululemon. If you're just joining us, we've been talking about two ways to solve the income shortage puzzle. Coming up a little bit later, my program guest Ron Soares will be joining us. We'll be talking about the tyranny of target date mutual funds, which are designed to help people to reach retirement in a safe way. We're going to talk about some of the problems with target date funds and why I think that they teach the investing public the wrong message, that quick and fast investment choices will help you to achieve your investment goals. Really, the bottom line here is that a customized investment portfolio that matches your unique investment goals, that should always be the default choice. But we'll get into this a little bit more later. Stay tuned for that. If you'd like to join us, again, 877-711-5611 is the number. Ron at indexshow.com is the email address. My Twitter handle, at indexshow. Well, what are some of the biggest psychological traps that investors suffer from? What are the psychological traps that you must absolutely avoid? Well, there's three. And the first one was highlighted by a gentleman by the name of Meyer Statman. He's been on this program. He's a professor of finance at Santa Clara University, and he studies the behavior of investors. And the number one thing that gets investors in trouble is hindsight bias. Hindsight, in other words, looking backwards, makes us overconfident in our foresight, and it eggs us on into picking winning stocks, winning funds, winning ETFs, and leaving us with an egg on our faces. So, in other words, we tend to take what's happened in the past, we extract that hindsight, and we use it to make decisions in the future, and that bias gets us in trouble. So that's number one in terms of a psychological disorder that gets investors in trouble. Number two is anchoring. Too often, investors anchor to a particular price, whether it's the price they paid for a stock or the price they paid for their home or whatever. And they take a look at what they paid and they anchor. They anchor. In other words, they stick to that. And it's dangerous because what it can do is it can lead us to getting emotionally attached to a specific investment. It can lead us to holding a losing investment all the way down. It can also lead us to selling a winner too quickly. So anchoring causes investment mistakes to happen. When we anchor, we get emotionally attached to specific investment and we begin to focus on that and begin to lose sight of reality and what's really happening. So that is a very, very big psychological trap that you must absolutely avoid. So we want to avoid hindsight investing. We want to avoid anchoring. And finally, we want to avoid overconfidence. This is what I call the superiority complex. You are not better than the rest. You're just not. We tend to believe, though, that we have more information, that we have better skill than the next person. And the simple fact is, that is not true. That is not true because the minute we begin to think that we're better than the rest, that we're better than the market, we fall into the trap of overconfidence. And this is one of the reasons that we use index ETFs as the foundation of our portfolio, because by doing that, we immediately avoid the self-overconfidence, the superiority complex that gets so many investors in trouble because of the fact that our investments are linked to the market, and the market and market prices, that is what tells us where we should be. It's not that we're trying to pick funds that beat the market or stocks that outperform the market, a sign of overconfidence, but rather we go with the market. We rely on the market to get our returns. We don't try to second guess the market. So these are some things that on the psychological front, as investors, we need to avoid. Hindsight bias, anchoring, and overconfidence. Those are three psychological attributes you must absolutely avoid if you want to have financial success. 877-711-5611 is the number. Ron at indexshow.com is the email address. My Twitter handle at indexshow. Coming up in a little bit, Ron Soares will be joining me. He designs retirement plans. He's president of a company called Target Date Solutions based in San Clemente, California. That's a beautiful part of the country. And we're going to talk about target date funds, what they are, and one of the reasons that they create problems for retirement savers. These particular funds now have over $1 trillion in assets. And if you go back to just recently, the financial crisis in 2008 and 2009, many target date funds collapsed and really failed to deliver on their promises. We'll get into that a little bit later. And if you're faced with the choice of target date funds inside your retirement plan, whether that's a 401k or IRA, some tips on some better alternatives. I want to talk with you about two ways to solve the income shortage puzzle. Great piece out of the New York Times about why many retirees could end up outliving a $1 million nest egg. One of the problems is depressed interest rates, especially on bonds. The yields on bonds is still depressed, even though yields have been climbing over the past month or two. But some investors have been deciding to go with a 100% all-stock portfolio with the thesis that, well, stocks have easily outperformed bonds over long periods of time, so having an all-stock portfolio is going to solve everything. What about the narrowing gap between stock and bond yields? Here, too, they use this argument, well, the Spider S&P 500 yields 1.95% versus 2.2% for 10-year U.S. Treasury bonds. I'm almost getting the same yield as Treasuries, except I've got more upside potential with stocks. Here too, this 100% all-stock portfolio, this P people are using as a income shortage puzzle solution, well, that's going to get them in trouble because they're increasing their risk by taking on more risk owning an all-stock portfolio. So two better strategies to solve that income shortage puzzle problem, that coming up next. Go nowhere!
The Index Investing Show with Lon DeLegio.
Are you really satisfied with the depressed interest rates coming from bank CDs and savings accounts? What if, for a change, you could generate high monthly income on all that money? The model portfolios at ETFGuide.com can show you how. Most people are leaving good money behind because they're completely unaware of all the income their investments could be generating. The Income Mix Portfolio at ETFGuide.com will show you how to squeeze more money from your investments. A $100,000 portfolio using our timely strategies could be able to generate between $500 and $2,000 a month. Go to ETFGuide.com to get our monthly income trades. Click on ETF Combos and we'll show you how to turn your investments into a cash cow. Isn't it time you started squeezing more money from your investments? Go to ETFGuide.com, click on the ETF Combos, and we'll show you how. You'll get monthly income strategies using options and ETFs only at ETFGuide.com. To receive your special discount, use promo code BIG50.
Around 25% of all 401k participants invest solely in target date funds. That's a six-fold increase over the past 5 years. And instead of celebrating this disgusting trend towards faceless and one-size-fits-all investing, I completely and utterly repudiate this revolting trend of canned investment solutions. Warning, what you're about to hear from my next guest will make you feel uncomfortable. It will make you rethink the so-called benefits of target date funds. I enjoy assassinating consensus investment opinions. And here to help us do that is Ron Sears. He's president of Target Date Solutions, which is based in San Clemente, California. Ron, welcome to the Index Investing Show.
Well, thanks, Ron. My pleasure.
Let's begin today's interview by asking you and having you give us an update about the retirement and saving landscape. How has the retirement savings game changed for today's generation versus what it was before?
Yeah, the big change has been from defined benefit plans where the company sponsor would basically, if you worked for them for a reasonably long period of time, 10, 20 years, they would send you a check every month. And there'd be, you know, some reasonable percentage of your former salary. And that has pretty much moved away for a variety of reasons to mostly defined contribution plans now. The defined benefit plans still sort of exist in public funds and in some union plans, but for most corporate plans now, they've moved out and are in defined contribution. And what that's really done is transferred the risk-taking from the employer to the employee. So the employee is needs to make his own decisions. Unless, and let's get sort of focus on the target date funds. The original idea, not enough people were signing on to participate in the defined contribution plan. So behavioral scientists encouraged plan sponsors to flip that around and make it automatic enrollment. But it used to be that you had to opt in. Now the way things work is when you join a new firm, you're automatically in the plan in most cases. And you need to physically opt out. And behavioral scientists were right. People tended not to opt out. The employer put them in there, and they stuck. But then the second... I'm sorry, go ahead, Ron.
Yeah, so you know, what I'm hearing here is more responsibility on the individual for their investment future. Now, nobody wants to work 40 or 50 years and belatedly realize that they didn't save enough money to support their retired lifestyle. So my question to you is, how much money, in your view, does a person need to be saving for retirement? Is it 5%, 10%? Is there a magic number?
Yeah, well, there's really not a magic number. And I think if we had a lot of time, we could get into, I think what really, you know, I'm going to throw out a number. I think it's 15%, and that would be including the employer match. And many plans do have an employer match. So if you wanted to just, hold me to a number, I think it's 15%. That's probably way above what most people are saving today. So I think what happens is as retirement, most people don't think about it. I mean, a 20-year-old retirement is just so far away from your mindset. You're probably not going to put that much into your 401k plan. But as retirement gets near, I think the tendency is to try to make up for inadequate savings. But in the end of the day, many decide to reduce their lifestyles. So it may be, you know, the double wide and some place you can afford or whatever. I'll give you an example. My sister listens to this. I apologize, but she's found a comfortable living in Harrison, Arkansas, and you can live very nicely and very cheaply in that city. So I think what a lot do is they lower their standards and live in a way that they can afford. But I think if you would think about saving 15% per year, I have an article on my website called Save and Protect. If you will save 15% per year and not take a lot of risk, especially as you're nearing retirement, you should be just fine.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to the Index Investing Show. Pleased to be talking with Ron Sears. He's president of Target Date Solutions. Give us your website. What is your website to address?
It's pretty simple to remember. It's Target Date Solutions, those three words strung together. So www.targetdatesolutions.com.
Now, there's been a massive shift in the way that people save and invest for retirement, and that shift or that change has been towards this one-size-fits-all solution versus customized investment plans that perfectly match a person's outlook and goals. And unfortunately, target date funds are promoting this as a solution to people's investment needs. I think it's a very dangerous, it's a very ominous trend. Talk about that.
Well, what's really going on here is, first of all, the behavioral scientists were right. If you auto-enroll people, they will stay in. And then the second challenge that I don't know if behavioral scientists saw it coming was many people just don't feel comfortable making an investment choice. The employer is sort of on the hook to make that decision on behalf of the plan participants who just won't decide, and it's called a default investment. So most of the money that's going into target date funds have been defaulted into them. And I think it's important for people on this call who are in 401k plans and are not making their own investment elections to be aware that the election that their employers are making for them are mostly target date funds. And it's largely because there's the Pension Protection Act of 2006 that provided basically safe harbors for plan sponsors when they invest qualified default investment alternatives. They're called QDIAs. And there are three choices. One is a balanced account. Another is what's called a managed account, which would be basically working with each individual, which I think is the best strategy, but rarely used for lower-paid employees. And then the third and by far the most popular qualified default investment alternative is target date funds. What's gone on there is, it's to give you a sense of how quickly it's grown. Prior to 2006, there was very little assets in target date funds. Today, it's close to $1 trillion. So just in 7 short years, it's grown from basically zero to roughly $1 trillion. Now, the official numbers that are released in the press and so on is $500 billion, half a trillion. But people are just counting the mutual fund assets. What has gone on in addition to mutual funds is target date funds are being implemented as collective trusts, and there's quite a few assets in there. And most importantly, many larger plan sponsors are adopting customized target date funds where they will use managers that they've already vetted, say, for their defined benefit plan. And the whole idea of a target date fund is to take a substantial amount of risk for younger employees, you know, 20, 30-year-olds, and then to pull that back as the retirement date gets closer. And I think that's generally a good idea, except the critical ingredient here, I think, is the risk exposure at target date. And I think it's way too high still. The average target date fund is running 30 to 40% in equities at the target date.
And we saw this in 2008 and 2009. Wasn't it many target date funds that were allegedly conservative? They got massacred. Talk about that.
No, they actually did. And in 2008, the average 2010 fund, which the idea of the 2010 fund was you're about 2 years away from retirement in 2008. So that would be the fund that you would be in. The average 2010 fund in 2008 lost 30%. So if you can just imagine, some people who were in the 2010 fund were already retired, because the idea is 2010 is for people retiring between 2005 and 2015. So here you are, you start to make your plans for retirement, or you're ready in retirement. Overnight, I mean, in 1 month, a third of your assets are gone. So it was just outrageous. And I think what happens there, if you're a participant and you say to your employer, I can't make a decision, please make one for me, you want to believe that your employer is going to be very conservative on your behalf as you get close to retirement. That's just not the case. Now, the real crime here is nothing's changed since 2008. The average target date fund is still running 30 to 40% in equities. 2008 bonds sort of saved those portfolios. Today, those portfolios, they're 30, 40% in equities, and the balance is in long-term bonds. And people who are looking at current interest rates are very leery and very concerned about the reasonably high likelihood that we're going to see big increases in interest rates, and that's going to cause bond values to go down substantially. So,
well,
I
Ron,
think
we have to leave it. Yeah, we have to leave it there. I want to have you back to talk about not just the problem of target date funds, but we're going to talk about the solution. You just heard from Ron Sears, president of Target Date Solutions. This is the Index Investing Show. More when we return. Go nowhere.
The Index Investing Show with Lon DeLegge.
Raymond DeVoe Jr. said, quote, financial markets will find and exploit hidden flaws, particularly in untested new innovations, and do so at a time that will inflict the most damage to the most people. Let me repeat that. Financial markets will find and exploit hidden flaws, particularly in untested new innovations, and do so at a time that will inflict the most damage to the most people. That, again, is from Raymond DeVoe Jr., a stock market, financial markets observer. And I think this particular quote especially applies to target date funds, which, as you just heard in that interview with Ron Sears, have come up short. During times of crisis, target date funds have shown to be too risky. During the 2008-2009 crisis, many target date funds that were supposedly conservatively allocated lost a large amount of money, more than their owners were expecting. And so the fact is that to this day, no matter what the mutual fund industry says, the fact is target date funds are pretty much the same beasts today as they were in 2008 and 2009. There's been very little innovation. There's been very little change. There's been no improvement in how these funds are designed. And the fact is that target date funds teach you, the investing public, they teach us the wrong message. They teach us that canned investment solutions, are one size fits all, are okay. They teach us that quick and fast investment choices are going to help us to achieve our investment and retirement goals, when that is simply not true. And that's why I utterly detest target date funds. They should not be a default choice in 401k plans. But what does the Department of Labor know about retirement planning anyway? If you're going to rely on the government, if you're going to rely on people at the Department of Labor to help you to achieve your retirement goals, well, you're a dreamer. You're a dreamer, and you can think of target date funds as a last resort investment choice. Kind of like when you're trapped on an island and your only form of survival is eating tree bark and eating rats. That's really your last choice of food for survival, and that's how target date funds should be viewed in terms of investment choices. A last resort investment choice, not as they're being used today, not as a qualified default investment alternative. And that's my take on that. So, target date funds, what are some better solutions to these types of choices? Well, really, the thing here is to begin with a customized investment portfolio that perfectly matches you. It matches not just your age, but your level of risk tolerance. Also, your goal, whether that's income, whether that's capital growth, or perhaps you're at the point of preserving your capital. So that should be taken into account. And then in addition to that, not just your age or your goals, but also what you are, or what your overall investment plan is, your financial plan as a whole. How does this piece of the puzzle, your retirement plan, your 401k, fit into other things that you're doing in life? So when we begin to put all of that together, let's not forget also about your investment personality. We got to put your personality into your portfolio. We put all these things together. Now, that should help you to build a customized asset mix that perfectly matches you. And that means picking funds, hopefully low-cost index funds and index ETFs that have the areas, the asset classes that you should have exposure to, and then getting the right percentages of exposure to each one of those funds, and then building your portfolio that way, building it from scratch. And then as time goes by, you want to not just have the portfolio built, but also tweak it over time so that you can adjust the or modify the percentage of ownership to each of these areas as needed. 877-711-5611 is the number. Ron at indexshow.com is the email address. Please join us. My Twitter handle at indexshow. Two ways to solve the income shortage puzzle. We already talked earlier in the show about the 100% all bond portfolio, which was highlighted in a New York Times piece titled "Why Many Retirees Could Outlive a $1 Million Nest Egg." And the example used was a couple with $1 million in tax-free municipal bonds. They're pulling out 4% annually, but the problem is they're only getting around 3% in yield, which means they're eroding their principal. So the 100% all bond portfolio doesn't work. The 100% all stock portfolio also doesn't work because of the fact that it subjects the income investor to way too much risk, more than they can probably handle. So what's a better strategy? Well, I've got two ideas for you. Number one is a less extreme approach, which I use in the ETF income mix portfolio at ETFguide.com. So what we're doing every month, once a month, is we sell covered calls on ETFs that track a few different asset classes. So we've got stocks, we've got gold, and we've got a U.S. real estate investment trust. So you've got three distinct asset classes that act and behave differently than each other. That's what you want in a portfolio. Distinct asset classes that are different. So by using this covered call approach, not only are we able to collect dividends from the underlying ETFs, but we also generate income from the options. And in the case of gold, well, you know, we're able to take a completely dead asset that generates no income. It generates no dividends, gold. And we turn that into an income-producing asset by selling covered calls on GLD. Now, since the start of 2013, our ETF income mix portfolio with our monthly trades has generated over $4,500 in actual income. That works out to about $753 a month based on a $100,000 all ETF portfolio. So each month, basically, I tell readers the best combination of ETF covered call options to sell. So that is one strategy for solving the income shortage puzzle. Finally, the final strategy for solving this income deficit shortage is a little bit more risky, but if you do it right, it can still work. And that's selling out of the money call and put options. Now, definitely comparing it to the covered call strategy that I just previously explained, when you begin to sell out of the money call and put options, it's definitely more aggressive compared to the covered call strategy, mainly because you don't own the underlying ETFs. However, properly placed trades often result in call and put options that expire completely worthless, which is what you want. Now, it doesn't always work out like that, but it frequently does if you are picking your spots correctly. Now, one example of this is an income trade that we did on GLD. GLD is the Spider Gold Shares, tracks the price of gold bullion. For May 1st, in the ETF Weekly Pick at ETFGuide.com, we wrote about this. Quote, after meandering in their mid-teens over the past 5 months, gold volatility has jumped to over 20. That's translated into higher call option premiums for the Spider Gold Shares, ticker symbol GLD. We like selling the gold, the GLD May 143 call options for around $200 of monthly income per contract. These options expire on May 23rd, and our goal will be to watch them expire worthless. Although GLD has rallied hard since its swoon towards 130, the year-to-date price trend is still down. So how did that GLD income trade work out? Well, just as expected, just as planned, those May 143 call options on GLD expired completely worthless because GLD closed lower than 143 a share. And so what happened was we bagged that income from selling those out-of-the-money calls. We bagged that monthly income and added to our cash flow. So these are two strategies for solving the income shortage puzzle. You can go to ETFGuide.com to learn more. And that just about does it for another episode of the Index Investing Show. Be sure to join us again next week. We'll be doing a portfolio report card. And until we meet again, may the market indexes be with you.
The opinions expressed in this broadcast are not necessarily that of our advertisers, sponsors, or broadcast partners. The discussion of investing is general and should not be construed as investment advice or an offer to buy or sell securities. Listeners are responsible for their own investment decisions and results. Before investing in mutual funds or ETFs, always consult a prospectus for risk, charges, expenses, and other information. Read the prospectus carefully before investing. Past performance is not indicative of future results. No reproduction or dissemination of the Index Investing Show is permitted without the expressed written consent of its producers.